it was not for him, we would have no hope at all. 1 Timothy chapter 1 tonight. And we are going to be tonight looking at our graduating seniors and preaching a message calling Keep Your Ship on Course. Keep your ship on course, and we're going to look at the Word of God tonight. The Word of God is always good. It always has something for us, and that direction being for all young people. But how many of you are still on your ship? And until you die, you're still sailing, and you've got to keep it on course. It doesn't matter whether you're 85 or whether you're 90 or whether you're 100. You're still going on, and you're not done yet until you are up in heaven with the Lord or until that trumpet sounds. But let's look at the scriptures tonight. This charge, chapter 1, verse 18, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. And then he names a couple people that were shipwrecked. But we want to look tonight and just focus on this. Let's keep our ship on course. Let's pray, and we'll look at the scriptures tonight. Father, I ask that you would specifically be with Noah and with Caitlin tonight. I pray that you would help them. Lord, both of them have major decisions that will be made over the next few months and over the next year. And God, I pray that you would help them to seek you, to seek your wisdom. Father, I pray that the choices they make would be godly choices. I pray, Father, that you would keep them faithful to you. I pray, Father, that they would hold fast the faithful word. And God, tonight as we look at these scriptures, I pray that you would help them all the way until the end, that they might keep their ship on the course that you have set for them. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we look at this. The Bible says here, to war. He says, I charge thee to war a good warfare. In essence, what is warring a good warfare in the context of this scripture? It is keeping your ship on course until the trumpet sounds or until you finish your course, which in essence is at the day of your death when you graduate to heaven. This is a very small step of a graduation. 18 years is not very long. How many of you would agree that 18 is not very long? And I'm finding out that it's going faster and faster all the time. So you look at this and you think, and turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, this is Paul's testimony at the end of his life. And Paul said this, for I am now ready, verse 6, chapter 4, verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And there is a desire and there is a goal that Noah and Caitlin, that you will look at your life and you will come to the end of your life. It doesn't matter when it is. You don't know when it is. We are not guaranteed tomorrow, but more than likely you will live your life to the end, to an older age. And you will look at that time and to have that testimony with the Apostle Paul to say, look, I've fought a good fight. Are you going to be there? Are you going to be able to look at your life and say, I have fought a good fight? Are you going to be look at your life and say, I have finished my course, the course that God had set for you? And ultimately to come to that point and say, I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. And you think about that, can you? How many people start out and they look at it and they say, look, I know that what's right. I know I need to keep the path. And it's so easy for that ship to get pulled off course, isn't it? It's so easy. How many people have started in a church just like this and failed on their course? Multitudes. Multitudes. I don't know, honestly, whether more fail or whether more keep on. I don't know.
If we were to calculate it up in churches like this all across the country, I do not know what we would end up with. Some people, they go off course, their ship gets all wrecked and beat up and banged up, and then they realize, whoa, I need to get back on course. It's best not to get off course. It's best never to leave that course. Let's look at a shipwreck and get some lessons from it. Turn to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. This is a description of a physical shipwreck, but there are some spiritual truths here that go along with that. As we look at this, beginning reading in verse 13, it says, "And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete." They sailed. And Noah and Caitlin, you're setting sail. Now you could say they've already been sailing, but you've been sailing under the control to a degree of your parents. You've been sailing under the control of those who have authority over you up to this point. Now you're launching out. It's going to be your control. Not to say that your parents do not still have influence and guidance and some level of control in your life. I'm not saying that at all. But you now have choices, and they're going to be your choices, and the direction of your ship at this point is going to be your choice. And whether you stay on course is going to be your choice. So they sailed. Verse 14 says this, "But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive." Now you look at this. This is a ship now out of control. Why? Because you set sail in life, and guess what? As you set sail, there is going to be a tempest. That tempest, you think that Satan is going to let you go to the end of your life without some storms? It's not going to happen. There's going to be a tempest. He is going to send some severe test your way, and it's going to be you determining with your Christian walk and following the Lord, are you going to keep that ship on course, or are you going to be driven by the wind? Let's pause here just one moment. Keep your place in Acts 27. Turn to James chapter 1 and verse 6. James chapter 1 and verse 6. The Bible says in James 1, 6, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering." It's talking about prayer, but it's a consistent thing in a Christian life. "For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." You can be a wave driven with the wind of tossed, or you can be a stable ship going through life following God's path. Turn to Ephesians 4, 14. The book of Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 14, so we go there, there's a description given here, and God's talking about the church and those that are in the church and their goal of helping people. And he says that in verse 14, "that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." You know, in your life, you're going to be hit by one false doctrine after another false doctrine after another false doctrine. There will be cunning and deceitful people that come along and they try to twist and turn and get you off track. There are people that should long ago been stable and on course. They are like children tossed to and fro. They're tossed to and fro, following false doctrine, following false teachers, following all kinds of different things. And then there's those that are tossed to and fro by the world. Just beat up upon by the world. The world throws this at them, they kind of go this direction. Then the world throws this at them, they kind of go this direction. God says, "Look, I gave," verse 11, "some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers And he says, I gave these, that we, verse 14, henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. God gave a church with fellow believers, a church that is a unified body, and the church is given to help us in our walk with the Lord to stay on track. It's necessary, it's needful. Don't abandon a church. Say, I may move. If you move, you find a godly, biblical church. You make sure that you stay with it. Why? Because if you don't, you will be tossed to and fro through life. God gave us a church for a reason. To say I don't need it or I can exist without it is to say that God was wrong. It is to say that I don't need God's plan. And let me tell you, you do need God's plan. And it doesn't matter where you're at, you'd better be in a Bible preaching church. And God said, so much the more as we see the day approaching. Nobody stays consistently on track avoiding God's plan. Just doesn't happen. Well, I can. No, you can't. And you won't. Because God set it up. And if you abandon God's plan, you've already failed. You're already off course. And so we need to be faithful in that. Let's go back to Acts chapter 27 and come to what it says. Verse 16, and running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. Much work. Life takes much work. There's no doubt about it. As you keep that ship on course and you're striving to keep that ship afloat and you're striving to keep that ship in the direction it's going, guess what? It's not always easy. It's work. It's work. Which, when they had taken, verse 17 up, they used helps, undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. Life will throw quicksand at you. It's going to try to pull you down, try to get you to sink. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. There's storms and then there's big storms. See, people graduate and they've been living under the protection of their family. How many of you dads, you try your best to put an umbrella of protection around and over your family? Right? And the bottom line is, even the things that you face, sometimes you shield your children from those things. Sometimes you let them know what's going on. Sometimes you shield them from those things. But your goal, your protection is to shield your family from these things. Sometimes, dads, you take the brunt of the storm upon yourself, keeping the family back so that they're not facing the brunt of those storms. Some of those storms are financial, some of them are physical, some of them are illnesses. All kinds of things go on. Some of them are attacks from Satan, some of them are attacks from people. All kinds of things take place. But now, you get your own boat. And you may still be somewhat shielded by your parents for a period of time, but you're stepping out. You get your own boat. Eventually, in that boat, you're going to have your family. And the storms are going to come. And you're going to need God like you've never needed God before. You've been able to depend upon dad and mom. Now you've got to learn to depend on God for yourself. And you think about what's going to take place. And we continue on. The third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. This sounds a little bit bleak, But I'll tell you what, life does throw hard things at you. And guess what? Though bleak times come, there is victory. Verse 21 says, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Wait a minute. I'm in the middle of a storm. There's quicksand over here. God says, wait, be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. And there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. You know, there's a certain level of protection just in serving God. Saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheers, for I believe God. Right in the middle of all the storms, right in the middle of the tempest, right in the middle of the driving winds, right in the middle of the quicksands. We're going to look, rocks are going to come up here in a minute. Right in the middle of that, the statement is made, I believe God. You know what's going to keep your ship on course? I believe God. It's what he said. But when the 14th, howbeit, verse 26, I'm sorry, howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island, but when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Verse 29, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast out four anchors out of the stern and wished for day. So now there's rocks involved. I'll tell you what, life throws a lot at you, doesn't it? You've been through it. You know what it's like. Some of you that are older, you've had the storms. You've had the rocks. You've had the quicksands. And guess what? Is God faithful? He is faithful. He is faithful. And you cast out the four anchors. And I've heard, you know, four anchors referred to as Bible reading and prayer and church attendance and witnessing. And maybe there's some variation of that. But you know what? We need anchors in our life. We need things to lock into. It could be that the anchors could be maybe four individuals that you look at and say, these are the people that are going to help me stay on course for my life. They're the ones that I'm going to look to for help and guidance. Whatever it be, we look at it and we do need some anchors. And it says, they wished for the day. Guess what? The day will come. Not every day is a hard day. There are weeks of hardship. There are months of hardship. Sometimes there are years of hardship. But there's light at the end of the tunnel. They wished for the day, and as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Whatever you do, stay in the ship. Stay with it. Keep that ship on course. If that ship goes off course, get back on course, but stay with the Christian walk. Stay with the Christian life. We look at verse 40 and 41. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea. You know, I am glad that as a Christian, we do not ever have to just say, well, whatever the sea does with me, that's what's going to happen. You know, you always have a course. You always have a solidity and a stableness. So many times in the Bible, God tells us to be steadfast, unmovable. You know, we have a choice. But the sea is going to try. And they loosed the rudder bands and hoist up the mainsail to the wind and made for shore, and falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And life sometimes just gets to where it pulls you in two different directions. And you're caught between a rock and a hard place. You're driven on shore, and yet you're beaten with the waves. Are you ready? for it? That's going to depend upon your walk with God. It's going to depend upon your faith and your ability to stay with God. Some people get shipwrecked. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19. 1 John chapter 2, this is the sad state of some people that get shipwrecked and why they get shipwrecked. 1 John 2 and verse 19 says this, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." He's talking about, John's writing, and he's writing to a church situation, and he's looking at it and saying, there are some people that left. And he says, let me explain to you why. Because they were not of us. And they left, and their leaving demonstrated, it made known the fact that they were not of us. And we're not talking about if a person leaves and they move to college and they go to a like-minded church. We're talking about people that leave the faith. We're talking about people that leave and abandon the Word of God. We're talking about people that abandon church in general. We're talking about people that abandon prayer and abandon their walk with God that they've had. They went out from us. They were not of us. And that leads to shipwreck. Turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 18 and 19, where we started, we're going to look how to keep from shipwreck. How to keep. The fact is, Satan wants to wreck your boat. The world wants to wreck your ship. So he says, "This charge I commit to thee, son Timothy, according to the promises." How to keep from shipwreck? Well, you hold on to the scriptures, according to the prophecies, according to the prophecies which went before thee. Hold on to faith and the foundation for faith, which is what? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's the prophecies. Paul says to Timothy, look, hold on to the prophecies. What are they? He's talking about the Bible. Then it wasn't all written yet, but he had the Old Testament. They had part of the New Testament. He says, look, as you go through this life, if you're going to war a good warfare, you're going to have to hold to the Word of God. It is the Word of God that will keep you on your course. Hold on to the prophecies. Hold on to faith. Verse 19 says this, holding faith. Holding faith. So many people today believe in faith, but their faith has no foundation. And faith is consistently and solidly built on the Word of God. If it does not agree with the Bible, you can have faith in it all day long. It does no good. It's not faith in faith. And I'll tell you, there is a massive amount of people in this day and age that have faith in faith. We need faith in the prophecies. We need faith in the Word of God. What does the Bible say about it? Not what does a religion say about it. Not what does a person say about it. What does the Bible say about it? We have faith in the Word of God, and he says you hold on to that faith. And in the midst of holding on to that faith, turn with me to 2 Timothy 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 through 17. 2 Timothy 3, 15 through 17. And this would apply both to Noah and to Caitlin. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures." Noah has been in church probably since a couple weeks after he was born. Right? Caitlin's been in church since she was, you mentioned 4 years old, is that correct? 4 years old? That's pretty young. The Bible says, "That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Caitlin mentioned that she got saved in Mrs. Watley's Sunday school class. What age group was she teaching at that time? Fourth grade. Fourth grade. Noah, do you remember how old roughly you were when you got saved? Okay, 5.5 years old. Would you say that from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures? They were able to make you wise unto salvation? You know, it's only the Scripture that makes you wise unto salvation. And I praise God for every child that gets saved. And they get saved because the Scripture's working in their lives. And it's so vitally important that children know the Scriptures. Children have a much easier time with faith than adults do. I believe that of all the people that get saved in the world, probably more of them get saved as children than they get saved in the later part of their life. But we look at this, and it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. It's going to teach you. For reproof. It's going to tell you sometimes you're wrong. For correction. When it tells you you're wrong, it's going to tell you how to make it right. And for instruction in righteousness. Now that you've got the wrong righted, it's going to instruct you how to keep that ship on course. God says, look, hold on to faith, ground it in the Word of God, keep that ship on course. And then verse 17 says this, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Completely, throughly, all the way through, you are furnished unto good works. You're keeping that ship on course. And guess what? When you're 40 years old, and then when you're 60 years old, and then when you're 80 years old, and then when you're 100 years old, you can still be living for God. You can still have that ship on course. You can still be doing right. It's your choice. God has given the victory. God has given the power. God has given the ability. God has given the instruction book. God has given the Scriptures that teach you, that reprove you, that correct you, that instruct you. You have everything you need to walk with God. Everything you need to walk with God. So you hold faith. Now turn back to 1 Timothy 1:19. Holding faith, and the second thing, and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwrecked. You know what's going to keep you holding on to the faith? You got to keep your conscience working. You got to keep that conscience working. Now, look at this. Do you know that 1/6 of the verses in the Bible that use the word conscience are found in 1 and 2 Timothy? And there's not. I think there's 29 verses, okay, and 6 of them, I believe, are found in 1 and 2 Timothy. Why? Paul was looking at this young man saying, you've got to keep a clean conscience. You've got to keep a conscience that works. Don't let it be seared. Let's look at these verses. I want you to notice something. In every one of these verses, in 1 and 2 Timothy, God is going to combine two things. You pay attention. And you'll notice 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5. 1 Timothy 1 verse 5 says this, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. God says, look, I want you to have a good conscience and I want you to have faith. And that word unfeigned means it's not fake. It's real. And you know what? The Christian walk is a real walk. So God says, keep a good conscience and keep your faith real. We go to verse 19. We already read, have holding faith and a good conscience. We turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 9. 1 Timothy 3 verse 9 says, holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. The mystery of faith in a pure conscience. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1 and 2. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. What happened? They shipwrecked. They shipwrecked. Now let's continue reading. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Do you see? Is there a direct connection with faith and conscience? Absolutely, there is. It's unmistakable that keeping a clean conscience, keeping a right conscience, a conscience that is not seared, is going to help you hold the faith. These are two absolutely necessary things. When you allow your conscience to get seared, say, how does that happen? It happens by committing a sin one time. And then you look at that sin. And now you have introduced that sin to your flesh. Your flesh now has an appetite for that sin. You don't immediately confess it and forsake it. In fact, you found out that your flesh kind of liked it. And you go back and you do that sin again. Sometimes it's a sin of open rebellion. Sometimes a sin that's kind of just slipped up on you. And you do that sin again. The first time, your conscience screams at you. Especially those that have been raised under the preaching of God's Word. You do that sin the very first time, your conscience screams out. It says, don't! Stop! Get off of it! Sometimes those people in that first sin, they fall on their knees and say, God, I can't believe that I did that. God, why did I do that? Please forgive me. But now their flesh has an appetite. And it pulls them back. And they do it again. The second time, it's on purpose. The first time, maybe it was somebody introduced it to you. Maybe it was somebody, you got caught off guard. But the second time, now you have actually gone back to seek that sin out in some way, shape, or form. You commit that sin the second time. Yeah, there's some guilt. But it's not near like the first time. By the third time, and it could be something as simple as just skipping church or something as wicked as alcohol or adultery. Third time, all of a sudden, like, well, and then what happens? You start to justify. What's happened? Your conscience is now seared. You're not seeing it as sin like you did the very first time that you did it. You're now accepting that into your life. And you've gotten your boat, your ship, off course. Then what happens? Now it's going to start affecting your faith. Now the conscience that has been seared, now you're looking at, well, this sin's not so bad. Maybe that one's not so bad either. What is happening now? You're doubting the Word of God. To begin with, you think, well, you know what? I still read my Bible a little bit, even though that I'm doing this sin. I still have tried to witness to a couple people, even though I'm doing this sin. I've still gone to church. I can do both. That's a seared conscience. It's a seared conscience every single time. And pretty soon, you're doubting the Word of God. You're doubting whether those sins even matter. You're doubting whether God really looks at it as being that bad. You get to the point where anybody that doesn't do those things, you call them a legalist. You wonder why they're so harsh. You wonder why they think that those things are so bad. You have to remember back, you, the first time you did it, your conscience told you the same thing because you had faith, you walked with God. What's happened is your conscience got seared and you began to accept those things. When that takes place, your ship's headed for the rocks and the quicksand and the tempestuous winds. And unfortunately, many, many people at 18, at 19, at 20, at 21, their ship goes. It gets driven. It gets tossed on the rocks. They end up shipwrecked. And then they get in that state. They throw out the anchors and hope that they can get back on course. Some of them praise God for His mercy, praise God for His forgiveness. They get that boat back on course. But let me tell you something. The boat's never quite the same. Praise God you can get back on course. Praise God for His forgiveness. Praise God you can still live your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God maybe you were off course for 5 or 6 years. Guess what? You can never undo what was done in those 5 or 6 years. You can get forgiveness for it. Guess what? You can even get your conscience back working again. Praise God for His mercy. You can get your conscience back to where it tells you that it's wrong again. But every person that has let their ship be driven with the wind, they have regrets. A person whose ship has stayed on course, they never regret it. People don't regret living for God. There are many regrets living for the world. And so I challenge you, as Paul said to Timothy, I charge you, holding faith and a pure conscience, holding faith and a pure conscience, don't put away either one. Keep your ship on course. Do what God would have you to do with your life. Don't waver. Don't slip. Stay with the book. If you move, you find a godly church that's going to hold fast the faithful word. Don't let your conscience be seared. Hold on to the faith. Let's stand to our feet. Have a time of invitation at this time. God, I pray that You would help us. I pray that You'd stir hearts. And God, I pray that people would respond as they need to at this time. I pray especially for Noah and Caitlin that You would help them. God, I pray, Lord, already that You would help them if there's corrections that need to take place in their life, that You would adjust and help them to get that ship back on course while the things are minute, while the adjustments are small. I pray that You would guide them and strengthen them. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If God has spoken to your heart, the altar's open. How's your ship?